I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But man, the Cavs have really kind of piqued our interest at being 9-0 right now, and it's been a lot of fun watching this team play.
Yeah, they've been awesome, and corresponding with that, and I don't know if I talked about this on your show. This is not to pat myself on the back. Just I talked about it a lot on my show, You Better You Bet, leading up to the start of the NBA season. I have bet on the Cavs win total over 48.5 wins. I felt like they were a good bet to get to 50. Won 48 last year, so I like them more this year. And I bet Kenny Atkinson to win Coach of the Year. And guys, Kenny Atkinson is now like the sole favorite to win this award. He's +300. And I know we got Warriors Cavs coming up tomorrow. Steve Kerr is the next choice at +600. So Atkinson of the 9-0 Cavs, the favorite right now to win Coach of the Year. I mean, just being honest, right? As good as Cleveland's been, I don't think the Cavs are as good as the Celtics. I think even the most optimistic Cavs fan would have to admit that, right? That, like, probably at this point, Boston, if they played in a 7-game series, even if Cleveland had home court, Boston would be favored in the series. That's not to throw cold water on the start, though. Just that I don't know if I'm ready to say, like, Cavs Eastern Conference champion, true NBA Finals contender just yet, but amazing starts of the season, obviously.
I'll be honest. Today I 100% agree with you. I do think it might swing me a little bit more, if depending on how they play against Golden State tomorrow night, that might swing me back to thinking maybe they are a lot more competitive against Boston than we thought they were going to be.
And the Warriors, for what it's worth, like, did beat the Celtics last. Now, Jaylen Brown doesn't play in the game last night, but the Warriors have been awesome to start the season, and that game should be great tomorrow night. And just to give some context, Cleveland right now to win the Eastern Conference is +700. They are the third choice on the board behind the Celtics and the Knicks, and the Sixers are right behind them. Joel Embiid will be back next week for Philadelphia. So the betting market says right now Cleveland is one of the top three teams in the East. Obviously, like, I'm a Knicks fan, but this has not been a great start to the season for the Knicks. Like, this could shape up with Cleveland being, like, the main competitor, like, the top challenger to the Celtics. Now, I'll just say, even if Cleveland wins tomorrow night against Golden State, it's not going to change my opinion on Celtics over Cavs for right now, and that's not meant to be, like, me hating on the Cavs. They're great. I think that I need to see more before I'm ready to say that, but obviously, like, on the right path, the Cavaliers are.
Could you imagine if you put down a bet to say that Cleveland could have three coaches of the year within a, 12-month period between Kevin Stefanski, Stephen Vodale, manager of the year, and then to think that Kenny Atkinson, especially two coaches that were in their first season. Like, I wish they were giving away trophies for coach of the year for the cities, because if that was the case, we'd be the home of champions right now.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I was going to say, like, in Vogt loses in the ALCS, Stefanski loses in the wild card game. Like, we got to get the Cavs farther than the second round of the playoffs like last year. And maybe this is the year to do it, and maybe they do get to the Eastern Conference final this year.
When you look under the hood of this Cavs team, Nick, is this legit? Like, I know they're not going to go 82-0. That's asinine. But is this legit? Can it be carried throughout the season and then into the playoffs pending injury?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, I kind of, like, the way I feel about the Cavs, like, I started to feel differently about them when Donovan Mitchell, like, signed the new contract, which to me is, like, Donovan Mitchell could have gone somewhere else, and Donovan Mitchell said, like, this is where I want to be, and Donovan Mitchell obviously has made a ton of money. He wants to win. Feels like he can win in Cleveland, and it looks like Darius Garland's kind of made the next step this year. Evan Mobley's on his way to being, like, a perennial all-star. He's great. Jared Allen is a terrific piece down low. Like, good players off the bench. I like Caris LeVert a lot as, like, a microwave scorer. So again, I'll stop short of saying that I think the Cavs are on the Celtics level, but are they legit? I mean, I bet them to win 49 or more games, so, like, I definitely think so. So, like, I'm big time on board the Cleveland Cavaliers train here. It's easy to say this with a 9-0 start. I mean, they're definitely winning 50 games this year, assuming that the top guys stay healthy.
Now, I think they'd be a difficult team if you were doing, like, a same game parlay on leading scorer for the Cavs, because they've shown a lot of diversity through the first nine games on who can be the leading scorer. I mean, they've had, what, four different guys be a leading scorer. So I just when you look at the gaming part of it, first of all, do you like doing that? Do you like doing player over-unders, or are you just you're more of a team guy?
No, I enjoy the player over-unders. Last night did not go great for me. I had Zach Edey over points. That did not go well after Edey had 20 points in the previous game. I thought Anthony Davis out, Edey to score 10, I thought was pretty good. Unfortunately, that was not the case. But overall, like, the props usually go better than not in the NBA. So I do like to do those quite a bit. As far as the Cavs go, like, and even like last night, Donovan Mitchell scored 29 last night. But then you've got Caris LeVert score 16 off the bench. He's always a threat to score 20 in a game. Ty Jerome was good last night. So yeah, like, it is, it's a balanced effort for Cleveland. I can tell you guys that a hot bet in the betting community this year has been Jarrett Allen over rebounds. Allen had 14 last night. I believe his total was, the over-under was 9.5 for Jarrett Allen. And just looking at his game log, I mean, this is just the last, let's see, six games, 14, 15, 12, 11, 17, and 15 rebounds for Jarrett Allen. And I don't think the betting market has caught up yet to Jarrett Allen's game-by-game stuff, to how many rebounds this dude gets on a regular basis. Now, we don't have any markets open for tomorrow night's game against the Warriors yet, but I'm curious what Allen's rebounds prop will be then.
Nick Costas joining us in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. All right, Nick, let's wallow right into the muck. So this Browns season, you see where they are, you see where it's all going. They're on the bye week this week. What do you even do with the rest of this Browns season? Are you just basically going like, hey, I'll take some unders? Or is it, all right, now it's time to become a big fan of daily fantasy?
Yeah, you know, I come from it from a different perspective, probably. And I am I grew up like a lifelong, like a diehard, obsessive fan of all my teams in New York, the teams that I root for, the Giants, Yankees, the Knicks, and Rangers. And I remember, like, the Giants are my favorite team. Just a quick anecdote. The Giants played Tampa in 2003. So this is before they ended up, the year that they ended up drafting Eli Manning. Before Kerry Collins got hurt. And I remember saying, they were like 4-7 and still like mathematically alive. They had to win out. I remember saying, I would trade the Giants winning this game, like all the Yankee World Series I've seen, for the Giants to win this game to go to 5-7 against Tampa. The Giants are my favorite team. And I would never root for the Giants to lose a game. But as I've gotten older and I've been in sports media, and like, you kind of like do this for a living, and you lose that a little bit, right? Lose like, yep, the obsessive fandom. Mm-hmm. I think like you kind of learn, you know, like, I'm a Giants fan, right? I think they should lose every game the rest of the season to guarantee themselves the top quarterback, like whatever quarterback they want. And I think if you're a Cleveland Browns fan now, if they win last week's game against the Chargers, you know, maybe you can make the case, okay, like, we can get hot down the stretch. Maybe we get to the 7 seed in the AFC. I think right now at 2-7, it seems like a really tall order. So my advice to Browns fans, and I know fans don't want to hear this, like, most fans can't, like, are not programmed to think like this. I kind of think you should root for them to lose every game and guarantee yourself the top, the quarterback of your choosing, and hopefully the organization is smart enough to not roll with Deshaun Watson next year.
Tonight's
game, I don't mean to be negative.
No.
Like,
I think, yeah, we've all kind of.
No, it's honesty. It's not negativity.
Yeah, it just sucks. Let's be honest.
It does. Hey, listen, I've seen Super Bowl, so it's not the same thing. Like, my team sucks too, and I don't have a quarterback either. I'm with you.
Let's talk about tonight's game, because I think if you still like the AFC North, tonight's game is going to be a fun one between the Bengals and the Ravens. Who do you like? What do you like in this game?
I do like Cincinnati. The number right now is 6, so this was 6.5 yesterday. I preferred it then, but I would only bet Cincy in the game, and this is just, you know, Joe Burrow getting this many points. The Ravens acknowledged, guys, a couple days ago, like, they know their defense isn't great. The secondary's not. The offense is electric, but the defense is not great. And we saw Jameis Winston obviously tear them up a couple weeks ago. Now, they were down Humphrey and Nate Higgins in that game, but still, you know, Jameis Winston and Cedric Tillman and company did, in fact, tear them up. Now, they traded for Tre'Davious White a few days ago from the Rams, former first-round pick of the Bills. White has barely played this season, and when he's played, he's been bad. So this is like the Ravens are saying, saying, we need to like roll the dice a little bit because we know our defense isn't good. These two teams played earlier in the season in Cincinnati. Ravens won that game in overtime, 41-38. And that's why we get to an over-under point total tonight of 52.5. I would never bet the under. But what I will do is I will take the points with Cincy. Maybe Baltimore wins, but I think we get a close game one way or another. The yardage prop that I will play tonight, guys, and this is as square as it gets. Give me Ja'Marr Chase over 81.5 receiving yards. And I just want to offer one other note here. If you'll allow me, prop-wise on this game. So the two starting tight ends in this game, Mark Andrews for Baltimore and Mike Gesicki for Cincinnati, are both very interesting tonight. So Isaiah Likely is out tonight for the Ravens. Like, he's not going to play. And we saw earlier this year the Ravens play all three of their tight ends, right? Mark Andrews was really frustrating for fantasy. Andrews, Likely, and Charlie Kohler. Well, since the Ravens traded for Deontay Johnson, and we saw this last week, the Ravens are not playing like multiple tight end sets anymore. Like, they're playing three wide receiver sets, and Deontay Johnson's supposed to be the third, along with Rashad Bateman and Zay Flowers. So I think Mark Andrews becomes like a much better bet for people now, because he's going to be like the only Ravens tight end probably that plays tonight. So I think you're going to see a lot of people like Mark Andrews. That's the reason why. And then for Mike Gesicki, in games when T. Higgins is out, and Higgins is not going to play tonight, guys, for Cincinnati. He's doubtful on the injury report. In games that Higgins does not play, Mike Gesicki basically becomes Cincinnati's slot receiver. 7 catches last week, 100 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Raiders. So when Higgins plays, Gesicki does not get the ball. When Higgins does not play, Gesicki gets the ball a ton. His receiving yards prop tonight is 50.5. So I think Gesicki and Andrews are both worth looking at in the prop market. I do like Ja'Marr Chase, though. I think Chase goes over 100 tonight.
Outstanding. We always appreciate your time. Thanks for giving us the lowdown on how folks should be looking at tonight's game. Say goodbye, my friend.
Thanks, man.
Yep. Yeah, wishing everybody Minimal Sweats Winning Bets the absolute very best of luck.
Basket and Phelps. Dan Menigan is in today for Jeff. Jeff will be in tomorrow. I'll be out tomorrow just kind of taking a little bye week R&R. You good with that? On a long weekend, too.
You kidding me? You've played the game correctly.
I know. Crazy,
you
right?
You saw a 3-day weekend and went, I could turn this into a 4-day weekend. And that's what you did with one vacation. That's just good math.
Yeah,
you're a smart man.
I was mathing well.
You're a smart
this time,
man.
Yeah.
You played the game accordingly.
216-474-0092, 216-474-0092. That is the number to call in. You can always hit us up on social media, the X at CLE Talking Heads. I kind of want to dive back into yesterday for a moment, and I'm still curious a lot of people's thoughts. I think it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just a waste of time. It hit me by the end of the day, because I think that we spend a lot of time trying to circle the wagons on why Deshaun Watson's here sometimes, trying to figure out who made the call on why he's here and where they're going with Deshaun Watson. And I think, and maybe because it's the bye week, we're doing some reflection. And, you know, your general manager spoke yesterday, and Andrew Berry, we didn't get a lot of answers from him yesterday. And it's not like he's not going to come out there and go, you know what, man, Deshaun Watson bringing him in was a stupid idea and it was mine. He might actually say, he might take ownership, because that's one thing that he and Kevin Stefanski don't mind doing. They're like, oh, it's on me. It's on me, right? How many times have we heard Kevin
say? Well, he said it was on all of us. It was all of our decisions together.
That's true. So he put it on all of them. But
on everybody.
But again, who are we talking to? Oh, it was Mike Florio. He said, well, you know, if you walk, I thought this was a great analogy. He said, you walk into an office and the person that owns the company sees that whoever's sitting at the desk when you walk in to greet you when you get there or to send you the right direction decided that it was a good day to put out a bowl of the big Snickers bars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the boss comes in and goes, hey, what a great idea. Way to come through. I think our customers will love this, that you put out these free Snickers bars, right? And now everybody in the building now suddenly has Snickers bars sitting at their desk because they think it's a good idea. It's inherent power, I think, sometimes, or inherent mental thinking. Influence is probably the right way to say it. So it's influence that, you know, if the owner said, hey, Deshaun Watson's the guy we want, then everybody on board, the boss wants it. There's a line sometimes that Jeff and I use, and I don't know if you'd appreciate that I'm saying something here, but I'm going to say it anyway. And we both kind of believe at it. Sometimes when things, and it's not just like the business we're in, it's every business. Like, there are times when we get upset with people that we work for, everybody does. It's not, I mean, it's totally natural. And a lot of times, Jeff will look at me and go, well, it must be what they wanted. And I go, you know what? You're right. You're right. It must be what they wanted. And it kind of...
That is the Jeff Phelps mantra.
Yeah, but it calms you down, doesn't it?
It must be what they want.
It's like, I don't know.
It's right up there.
It's mental Prozac for you because you're like, because if you can sit there and go, I don't agree with what we're doing here, but it must be what they wanted. So if you're sitting there and you're a general manager or a head coach and suddenly you've got a player who's suddenly thrown into your lap and you don't like it, you don't really have a choice. So it must be what they wanted.
Right.
And I just, it's a brilliant line. And I think probably Jeff told me that like when I was in college. And maybe I didn't understand it then, but I totally understand it now. And sometimes there are things you do, as long as they're legal, right? That the boss wants that you may not agree with, but you can execute it and try to be a pro's pro.
The other corollary that goes with it must be what they want is sometimes the simplest answer is the right answer. I think we all kind of know why Deshaun Watson is here. I think we can all lay that out pretty easily. I think the general manager went, hey, the Texans are looking to move on from Deshaun Watson. Let's meet with him.
And, oh, by the way, we're one of four finalists.
Hey, coach, can you work with this guy? Oh, you can?
Of course I
can.
Cool.
Hey, owner, do you mind cutting a check for this guy? Okay. Like, sometimes the simplest explanation is the one. And maybe then ownership came in after that. When Watson said no the first time, came in after that and went, you're getting him. Maybe it's just that simple. And the problem
you're getting
is,
him, but you got to give him the biggest contract in the history of the game. And sorry.
And the problem that we are currently running into is you're stuck, which is the worst position that anyone wants to be in any aspect of their life. The worst place to be is stuck. The worst place to be is on the treadmill, where you're not moving forward, you're not moving backward, you're just moving in place. And the problem we are in right now is the Browns are stuck. And that's the part that everybody hates. And that's why everybody is angry. It's because they're stuck. You're just stuck. So how do you get unstuck? And so everyone's solution to unstuck is to unstick, I should say, not unstuck. Holy mackerel, that was horrible English. Is basically, for lack of better terminology, the French Revolution. Okay, let's go. We're storming Versailles. Get me Marie Antoinette's head. Go get me King's head. This is how we're getting... That doesn't get you unstuck now.
Wait, can you do me a favor while you're doing that? Can you find that Valjean guy that stole a loaf of bread? Because we're going to chase him for the next two and a half hours and sing about it.
There is again, when you and I get our podcast...
Yes.
And we drag Nard in...
Yeah.
Fighting, kicking, and screaming, where we go off on things that don't matter, I have a lot of hot Les Mis takes.
You do?
I have a lot of hot Les Mis takes.
No, you don't.
Oh, yeah. It's not my favorite.
Is it hotter than the fact that you spend 2 hours watching one guy chase another guy because he stole a loaf of bread?
This isn't the place for us to get very deep
into
Les Mis. Nobody is coming to Sports Talk Radio going, are we getting into Les Mis today?
Yeah, but you know what? There are folks that are listening to our show right now that are trying to do the right thing, and they may end up at Les Mis with their significant other because their significant other really wants to go see Les Mis because the music's pretty good. And... all of a sudden, I mean, if Borat can be in Les Mis, it's open for all, right? Because he is the master of the house.
Now we're all over the place.
Now we're too far down the road?
But this is the problem. This is where we're at. Is now everybody is torches and pitchforks about to storm Versailles. Going, all right, get me Marie Antoinette's head. Like, that's where we are. But the problem is even if you fire the general manager and you fire the coach, the problem continues to exist. All you've done right now is the equivalent of eating a Snickers bar. It's you're just like, okay, now I have a little bit of satisfaction. Oh, look, everything's still bad. Like,
but you're not hungry.
For a little bit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the problem. We're stuck. We're just stuck. We're stuck.
Curtis is in Cleveland. Hello, Curtis.
How are you, Curtis?
Hey, Andy. How you doing, man?
Good. What's up? Dan's in today, too. Say hello to my friend, Dan.
Yeah.
You are a little Dan.
All Thank right. you, man. Just Appreciate you. Sure.
Hey, listen. I want to preface this by saying that Deshaun Watson and Joe Flacco both went 4-1 last year, and they helped put them in the playoffs. So they made billions of dollars off of them, regardless of Nichols' dime they gave him. But anyway...
Wait a second.
You got a playoff share out of the thing, which I partially get, and the NFL prints money to begin with. But
Curtis, did you just say Deshaun Watson's making nickels and dimes? You did not just say that.
He made $230 million, and they made $70 billion. You do the math.
Okay. You make it sound like Curtis. Let's hang on. I'll let you say everything you want to say, but can we live in the real world for a second? First of all, do you know anyone with that much money personally?
Nope.
Meaning.
I'd like to.
I don't think I do.
Deshaun Watson is rich. Jimmy Haslam is wealthy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. So he made his money off of him already. So he ain't. And it would be stupid for him to get rid of any coach, any general manager, any player who have to make billions of dollars this year by getting him in the postseason. Because they're not in the postseason if he don't go to Baltimore and beat Lamar Jackson. And he don't beat Joe Burrow by about 20 points. And he don't beat Ryan Tannehill down there in Tennessee. They're not in the playoffs this year.
All right, so what's the point there, my man? What do you got, Kurt?
So my point is, I'm looking at the numbers, right? Because I'll go back to this. So the guys completed 63% of the passes this year, in spite of the fact that 20% of his passes have been dropped. He would have been completing ridiculous 83% of the passes. Now, listen, that was analytically speaking to you. Now, they never had the same start lineup in none of their nine games. They all had a different lineup every year. He was getting sacked like 6 times a game. And Mary Kay Cabot said after 2 weeks, and you don't know why I deserve the Browns closing her. She said after 2 weeks, she said he's going to get killed. He's not going to make it.
He was on pace for 94 sacks this year. On pace for that.
But they've been missing 4 offensive line. They haven't had the same offensive line for 2 weeks in a row all year.
All right, so Curtis, let me ask you this, because I see where you're going with this. Do you think Deshaun Watson's starting quarterback next year when he's healthy?
Hell yeah. It'd be foolish to them let go to that Watson. When you got a quarterback out there, man, and his team is allowing the most sacks in the league, and they're dropping the most passes in the league, and they commit the most penalties in the red zone in the league, you can have Joe Montana, man. They ain't going to do you no good.
Curtis, do you find yourself having this argument with other people?
No, because we observed the game from an analytical standpoint. We feel like the Cleveland Browns have let Deshaun Watson down.
Okay, your analytics and my analytics are a little different.
All right, give me your analytics then.
Okay.
Thank you, Curtis.
Look at a great number called average depth of target. Okay? Basically, how far are you throwing the ball to the person you want to throw it to? Deshaun Watson's toward the bottom of every single one of those. Jameis Winston's come in for 2 games. Now, I'll give you Wyatt Teller. Fine. More than welcome to have Wyatt Teller. Deshaun Watson wasn't pushing the ball down the field. It felt like this entire offense just had a dome on it. And it wasn't because people weren't open. It was because the quarterback wouldn't throw it. And Jameis Winston came in under the same offensive line and pushed the ball down the field. Joe Flacco came in, same offensive line, pushed the ball down the field. There is clearly something going on with Deshaun Watson, whether it's fear of interceptions, fine, whatever. Inability to read the field, okay, fine, whatever. Something going on with the shoulder, hey, I don't know. I don't have a shoulder. It is a clunky, broken offense with that guy in it. And something needs to change in there. Are some of the drops because the receivers are dropping passes? Sure. Are some of the drops because they're thrown behind the receivers and all that kind of stuff with it? Yeah. There's a lot of different aspects that go in this. All I can tell you is if you want an offense where the ball is being pushed down the field and you're trying to gain chunk plays, 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 50 yards at a chunk, Deshaun Watson isn't doing that for you. He just wasn't. We have a big enough sample size to look at now and go, there are no explosive plays coming from this offense. If you have no explosive plays, then every single time down the field, you are the New York Jets offense, except you don't have the Aaron Rodgers whole shot deep ball involved there. You are just 5 here, 6 here, 5 here, 6 here. And what have we learned? How hard it is to build all of that on top of each other, going down the field, getting 5 to 6 yards a chunk. You need to get 15. You need to get 20. You need to get 30. And Deshaun Watson showed you he cannot do that.
All right, we'll continue on with this conversation about the Browns. And I just think going backwards and pointing fingers on why he's here, it's just verbal garbage. It happened. There's nothing you can do about it, and you can't change any of that. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Jamal White's going to join us at high noon. Also, the morning show was talking about a trend that I happen to notice, too. If you didn't hear what they were talking about, we're going to bring it back up here in a little bit. So 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in. 216-474-0092. Again, we spent a lot of time yesterday listening to Andrew Berry have to answer about why Deshaun Watson's here in the first place and pointing fingers and doing things like that. And Berry, you know, he did what I would expect him to do. I didn't think he said anything that was crazy yesterday. He did not give him an overwhelming vote of confidence about next year. And I know people, again, I say it, not a lot of people want to hear it, but because of the contract and because of where they are, I just think Deshaun is going to be around next year. I hear a lot of people saying, well, they'll just have a 52-man roster and ask him to stay home, or tell him that if he wants to use a facility, he can use a facility. We'll see how long, you know, it takes for the rehab process here, too. He didn't do the quick surgery, right?
I don't think
so. He did the slower surgery to get back, and it all looked painful. We all saw the injury. In a way, I don't even like talking about it because of the way he got hurt. You don't wish injury on anybody. You just wonder if his job is going to be there for him when he comes back based on the contract. If it wasn't for the contract, I think everyone that said to me, we've seen him play his last down in Cleveland, would be 100% correct. But financially, again, I ask you, do you want to pay? Just think about it. If you were the Haslams and you're paying all this money for a quarterback, does it make more money to do the scene for Moneyball where they say to Dave Justice, what was it? Was it the Yankees that were paying?
Yes.
The A's? You know, and they said to Dave Justice, hey, you know, the Yankees are paying us to have you not play for them. And that line is always kind of stuck in the back of my head. Interesting that Paul DePodesta is the guy that's down with the Browns, and that line sticks in my head about, you know, Deshaun Watson.
I mean, why wouldn't he?
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
You know, you got to have an incredible thought partner in your life.
That's never going to get old, is it?
Oh, gosh, no. We're going to beat that to death.
So this is where we said, are we talking too much about it? Just tell me straight out.
What? Talking too much about what? Watson?
About why he's here at this point, because it doesn't matter. You can't do anything about it.
Again, we're stuck. No one likes being stuck in any aspect of life. The last thing anybody wants is to be stuck. The last thing anybody wants is to be on the treadmill, pedaling as hard as you can, running as hard as you can. All of those things to go in a direction and have that direction be neutral. There are so many things in life that can be described merely by that thought. And nothing angers you more than being stuck. The Browns are stuck. Everyone's angry because they're stuck. And the path forward doesn't look pretty. Because they're stuck. Because they signed up with a guy who, let's be honest, a third of the fan base was all in. A third of the fan base was holding their nose or on the fence. And a third of the fan base despised. And you are seeing all of this go a direction. And now someone who is as divisive as he was and is has made a fan base stuck. And if you don't think all of those things are playing into this, it is. They're stuck.
All right, let's take a couple more phone calls on this. Let's go to Bob in Akron. Hey, Bob, how are you?
How are you, Bob?
Oh, man, first-time caller, but are we taking one more call on this or no more calls on this?
No, we'll take one more or two more on it. Why? On. What's your thoughts?
Are you going Les Levine on me? Do we need to go Les Levine?
This is the end of it right here. So, all right, I'm lucky enough I'm in middle management, right? So I have two or three bosses above me, and I have a team below me. And whenever I'm in Stefanski's position and I get somebody thrown in my team, from upper management, right? Oh, you got to take this guy. He's great.
It must be what they want, right? It must be what they want. Yes.
So the first thing I tell my team is, guys, everybody calm down. Let's fail their way first.
Ah.
And that's what you've seen from Stefanski and anybody else. Guys, we're stuck. I can just see people like a stand-up. Like, you know Nick Chubb's backstory, who he is as a person? Like Chubbtown in Georgia.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So when you put a guy like Nick Chubb and Jameis Watson, it's the Lord. We're the right. When you put two guys like that in a room with a guy like Deshaun, you're going to have some toxicity. So guys, let's fail their way first. And then my team says, I wonder if we can speed this process up. The receiver, he's not throwing bad passes. The receiver, nobody cares about him. He has no supporting cast. So nobody's trying. They're like, oh, we want to fail the Haslam's way first. Let's speed this process up. And guess what? Another mysterious injury. And oh my goodness, his poor ego's hurt and he can't play anymore because he's tired of all
this.
This
isn't a mysterious injury. Trust me, we all watched it.
No, you saw
exactly
it. Come on, man.
Oh, I know.
There's no mystery.
The mysterious injuries to his ego. I'm just tired of the guy. So I just think it's an entire team. They're like, we don't want him on our team. So let's fail. And if we fail, he's not playing anymore, and we can go back and play the brand of football. Look at the last game and a half.
Yeah, but Bob, your job's not on the line every Sunday. The only question I would say here is your job's not on the line every Sunday. It is?
All right. Every week when I get a bad team member put on my team from upper management and says, here, make it work, I'm the one who has to make it work as middle management.
And when you don't, is it your fault for not coaching them up and then you're handing out your resume?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Ask any mid-level sales manager or team leader. You know, even if you're in a lab leading a team of biologists and they're supposed to come up with something, but they've got some prima donna douchebag on their team, they're like, maybe we can figure this out later. We don't need this guy helping us.
All right. Bob representing middle management for us today. Thank you, Bob.
Let's go, baby.
Have a good one. Team middle management, break. Eric's in Akron. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I hear your contract argument, Andy. I guess I got a thought for you.
Please give it to me because I know what everybody sees because I see it too. We live this year. What's going to make us think they're not going to do that, or do we think they're going to a 52-man roster?
Let's assume for a second we own a gas station.
Okay.
And at that gas station, we spend $1,000 a month on drinks.
Okay.
Okay? And it doesn't matter if it's strawberry drinks or orange drinks or water or soda or whatever it is, but we spend $1,000 a month on drinks. Well, I guess my point is the salary cap's a salary cap.
Right.
The Haslams aren't paying any more or any less for him or any of the rest of the team than they would be naturally. Like, they have already budgeted out and all the cable TV deals and all the tax revenue and sales revenue and seat revenue and merchandise and whatever. They've already budgeted all this out for the salary cap. So this idea that he's just going to stay around for the contract is absurd to me.
Okay, here, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you my argument in your terms. So let's say that strawberry drink is $1,000 at every gas station in Northeast Ohio. Everyone's doing that, right? But my gas station thinks that this strawberry drink is the greatest strawberry drink of all time. And while everyone else is putting in $1,000, I'm putting in $10,000 to bring in this strawberry drink. Now, everyone finds out that the strawberry drink isn't very good. In fact, they're all getting stomach aches from it. Am I going to leave my strawberry drink out there a little bit longer because I paid $10,000 for it? Probably am. While the other ones are pulling it off their shelves. I don't know. That's just the way I see your argument.
I don't think that's the same, though. Like, the Haslams aren't exactly, you know, taking some sort of penalty for going over the salary cap, or it's not baseball where...
Yeah, the entire roster is.
So, Eric, you can't, if you are over that cap in the NFL, you can't put a team on the field. Like, you forfeit.
Well, and that's my point, is caring about salary cap or this contract or money or whatever else when the salary cap is a known quantity is putting business over football. And the dumbest way possible.
Well, I'm not quite we're on the same page for that. Yeah, it's dumb. It's horrible. But when they decided to give him this deal, they had two choices. Either it was going to be the greatest thing of all time or it was going to be the worst. And right now, it's the worst. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the phone call. One more real quick. Frank's in Walton Hills. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I just want to talk about the comments that were made earlier about our organization is stuck right now. And it's true, we are. And there's not much we could do about it. But I don't think anything here is going to change. And this goes back to something I read about Paul Brown years ago. Taking a bus to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers, the bus driver got lost. Bus driver was apologizing to Paul Brown. Paul Brown said, look, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the man who hired you.
Bingo.
So we could point at Deshaun Watson. We could point at Stefanski. We could point at Barry. But I'm telling you, when this happened years ago, everybody raised an eyebrow, and nobody's talking about it anymore. We are the only team in the NFL being run by a baseball executive. And it just seems to me he rehired Barry. He hired Stefanski. And whosever idea was to bring in Watson, he had to sign off on it. Now, you're not going to, I hear fans out there, we need new owners. Well, owners don't sell billion-dollar money-making machines.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Haslams wanted to sell it, who's to say the next owner is going to say, hey, great, I'm going to move it to a Sunbelt city?
Well, that's a little difficult. It is hard to move the Browns. And I know everyone wants to make a big deal about this Art Modell law, but it's really not. I mean, if you're going to move them out of Northeast Ohio, you're going to have trouble with that. We all know that. That's like...
Well, I agree with what you're saying on paper,
mm-hmm.
but, this is a whole other subject. I feel like...
Yeah, money Roger talks. Goodell, I'm sure that someone could come up with enough money to make your reality happen.
Roger Goodell would love getting the team out of Cleveland, but that's besides the point.
I don't think so.
No, not at all.
Well, here's my point I'm trying to make. Okay. Haslam is here. I don't mind him as an owner. Not every owner is good. The Rooneys floundered around until they got Chuck Knoll.
That's very true.
So what I'm trying to say, if Haslam wakes up one morning and says, why are we facing the same problems year after year, over and over again, no matter who we bring in to coach, whether it's Jim Schwartz or Joe Woods, the results are the same, third and long, and they're completing passes. It goes to the top guy.
I hear you. Okay.
Paul DeBette.
Thank you.
I would like to see them put a football man in charge.
Okay, thank you. He did play football, by the way. Paul did play football, just so you know.
And was an incredible thought partner.
He was, too. And let me ask you this. What's winning or losing? Just think about this for a second. You bought the team in 2012 for $1 billion, and now the team's worth $5.15 billion, according to what I'm reading here on the G-Eagle. Did he win? Is he winning? You tell me. 216-474-0092. We come back. We'll ask a guy that knows what it's like to be out on the field, especially at this point. He is Jamal White. He is a former Browns running back. And, of course, you can always catch him on Spectrum News 1 after the game. So, Jamal will join us next. Plus, we're going to have Seth the Valve coming up at 1 o'clock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.